Welcome to a Juno Afternoon here on Tuesday, May 27th, 2014. I'm your host, Scott Burton. Got a good show lined up for you today. We'll hear from Karen Fort Wrangler and Louise Wertheimer of the Fraternal Order of Eagles about Saturday's Children's Safety Fair. We'll hear from Catherine Kell. She'll be here to tell us about the Seward Streets Arts Festival on Saturday. We'll learn about new programs at the Planetarium from fellow Juno Afternoon host Ken Fix, who I see over in the other studio now. And my other fellow Juno Afternoon host, Shona Strausser, will be here to talk about Perseverance Theater's Star Program, That Writer's Almanac, Bird Note Music, and more here on a Juno Afternoon. And here is National Native News.
This is National Native News. I'm Antonia Gonzalez. A tribe in Wisconsin will decide soon whether to turn over employment records to a federal agency investigating an age discrimination case filed by a worker at its casino in Milwaukee. Chuck Kornbach reports the case raises questions about the extent of tribal sovereignty.
Last year, a 59-year-old employee at the Forest County Pottawatomie Gaming Hall alleged the tribe harassed him and subjected him to different employment conditions than the casino's younger workers. The U.S. Equal Opportunity Commission subpoenaed the tribe for information related to the allegations. The tribe refused the request. Recently, a federal district judge in Milwaukee ordered the Pottawatomie to comply with the EEOC's subpoena. EEOC attorney Dennis McBride says a federal age discrimination law does not have an exemption for tribes, and the worker was not a tribal member. McBride also argues the man worked at a commercial enterprise.
Because it was a casino and not a tribal housing authority or a wildlife commission or a tribal court or something of that sort, which is clearly governmental.
The Pottawatomie says the tribe does not discriminate and says various courts have reached different conclusions on whether the EEOC has jurisdiction to enforce the age discrimination law on tribal lands. The Pottawatomie declined an interview. But a Minnesota attorney who often represents tribes agreed to comment. Skip DeRocher says the Pottawatomie argue the casino funds their sovereign government.
The tribe argues that because revenues from the casino are used for governmental purposes and to provide essential services to its members, that this causes it to fall within this purely intramural matter.
The Forest County Pottawatomie has until early June to appeal the federal district court ruling. For National Native News, I'm Chuck Kornbach.
Alaska tribes are taking initiative to protect dwindling Yukon River king salmon. As KUAC's Dan Bross reports, a resolution penned by tribes at a meeting last week calls for more control in the management of the king stocks.
The resolution hammered out by representatives of 32 Yukon River tribes includes a commitment to largely stop harvesting king salmon. President of the Association of Village Council Presidents, Myron Nanning Sr., says only a few kings would be taken for funeral potlatches.
Do a moratorium to allow for Chinook salmon to pass by.
The resolution also calls for creation of an intertribal fish commission that would work closely with state and federal fishery managers.
Because more often than not, what we have seen is that our people on the river systems end up being criminalized by whatever proposed rules and regulations that come up because we have not really been allowed to participate.
Danning says local people are more likely to adhere to regulations that they've had a say in creating. The resolution now goes before tribal councils. For National Native News, I'm Dan Bross in Fairbanks, Alaska.
Native American veterans are now recognized at the Minnesota State Capitol. A plaque honoring Native veterans was unveiled last week. Tribal and state officials were among those to participate in a ceremony. The White Earth Tribe had worked on establishing the memorial since 2005. In Canada, Métis youth have started a 90-day journey across Ontario. Eight young people set out this week on the more than 1,000-mile canoe trek from Ottawa to Thunder Bay. It's being called the Métis Nation of Ontario Canoe Expedition. Organizers of the event say it will help the young people with leadership development and other skills. The group will visit Métis communities throughout the province and promote culture and heritage. In May 1916, the second Saturday was designated as American Indian Day in New York. The state's governor set aside the day for the observance. This is National Native News. I'm Antonia Gonzalez.
National Native News is produced at the Annenberg National Native Voice Studios in Albuquerque, New Mexico by Kiwanis Broadcast Corporation, with offices in Anchorage, Alaska. Funding is provided by the Corporation for Public Broadcasting, the Annenberg Foundation, and the Ford Foundation. Supported by Sacred Wind Community Connect, providing scholarships and internet training to the Navajo Nation and Pueblo of Laguna in New Mexico. Sacred Wind believes broadband can reinforce Native cultures and offer means for self-determination. SacredWindCommunications.com. You're invited to Kiwanis Broadcast Corporation's second annual reception and fundraiser, Thursday, June 5th at Sandia Resort and Casino in Albuquerque. Enjoy the art auction, meet Kiwanis board and staff, and help raise funds for Native Radio. Learn more at NativeNews.net. Native Voice One, the Native American Radio Service.
It's about 6 minutes after the hour, and you're listening to a Juneau Afternoon here on KTOO-FM 104.3, news for the capital city. My name is Scott Burton. I'm your host today. And with me now in the studio is Louise Wertheimer of the Fraternal Order of Eagles. Welcome, Louise.
Thank you.
And Karen Fortwrangler, you're also with the order. Thank you for coming in today.
Well, thank you for having us.
Yeah. Louise, would you start off by telling us a little bit of the Fraternal Order of Eagles?
Well, the Fraternal Order of Eagles was founded in the early 1900s, and their motto is people helping people. And so that's what we do here in the community, and we try to help others. The national group has 14 charities that all of the Aries across the United States and Canada.
And Aries are what a...
The Aries is like the Eagle's Nest. The Aries is like a lodge.
Okay.
And but anyway, there's throughout Canada and the United States, and we work and we raise money to donate to these the national order. And then the money that is raised and given to them comes back to the states, to people or groups that need it. And these orders include, or these charities include, the Jimmy Durante for child abuse. And there is one for Alzheimer's, one for kidney disease, for cancer. There's a total of 14 of them. And the Mother Aries asks the Aries throughout the country to do things that will benefit the community. And one of the most important things that we feel is to help children. And so that's what we're focusing on with our Children's Summer Safety Fair.
And speaking of that fair, Karen, do you want to tell us a little bit about that?
Sure. Well, as you know, every summer, during summer vacations, there's accidents involving children or youth, and some of the accidents are serious and some human end in tragic, and leaving families and friends devastated. So the Eagles has come together, and with some of the safety people within Juneau, like Red Cross, Forest Service, the state troopers will be coming out. The police department will be coming out. And animal control will be coming out. And the Sea Dogs this year will be coming out. And they're just going to give the kids a whole bunch of safety instructions on different things. Like we've got bicycles coming out to talk about bicycle safety. We've got skateboarders coming out to talk about skateboard safety. And we found out from the police department they're actually coming out to talk about car seat safety.
Okay.
So all of these people are coming together this Saturday, the 31st, at the Eagles Lodge, which is at 2055 Jordan Avenue. It's just down the street from the furniture place on the Jordan Avenue there.
Okay.
But... And we're going to be there from 11 to 3. It's free to anybody that wants to come out. A lot of this stuff will be geared towards preschool through middle high school age. But, you know, if the older brothers and sister want to come, you know, we welcome them to encourage mom and dad to come out so that they can find out what the kids are learning from them. I think last year we even had fire safety from one of the people that came out. So, and this year we were able to round up some wonderful door prizes from different people in the community. I can mention a few of those, Scott?
Please do. Yeah.
All right. So Bullwinkle's Pizza donated 2 gift certificates for pizza. Rodfather's The Broiler donated 5 gift certificates for milkshakes. Papa Murphy's donated 9 gift certificates for $20 for their pizza. Hearthside Books donated a costume rental. Walmart stepped up with a $25 gift card. Gino Pizza donated 15 gift certificates for their 2 slice pizza and soda. The Eagles is going to buy some McDonald's gift books to give away. And First National Bank stepped up to give us 100 suckers for anybody that showed up. So, and then Helping Hands, which is also another nonprofit organization, teamed up with us, and they will be there selling cotton candy and hot dogs that day. So
sounds like fun.
Oh, it's going to be a lot of fun. We had a lot of fun last year, didn't we, Louise?
Yes, and everything is geared towards children. That's why all the prizes are pizzas and good things.
Milkshakes.
Milkshakes. Good things to eat. But, you know, the sponsors, they felt the same way, that safety for children during summer vacation is very important.
Yeah.
And so they were just very great, very generous in their donations to help us educate children. And we feel that if it helps one child be safe this summer, then it's been successful. And we look forward to doing this, you know, every year. And we've gone and put posters at the schools, so that the schools all know about it, and we've just tried to reach out through the community to make sure that everyone knows that it's there and it's available for their child, and to please bring them on out.
Okay, that's this Saturday. Remind me of the time again?
11 a.m. to 3 p.m.
Okay. And you're on Jordan Avenue. You said it's by Lyle's Furniture. Is that right?
Well, it's down the street from them. It's kitty corner from the side of Nugget Mall there.
Okay.
There's a building on kitty corner to the left there.
Okay.
Oh, and we'll be doing face painting for kids, too.
Oh, there you
fun.
They always seem to really enjoy that. And so we'll have face painting. And then we'll be doing, since we had so many donations of prizes, we'll be doing the drawings pretty often. And the kids don't have to be there. They just need to sign a little slip with their name and phone number, and we'll give them a call if they're a winner.
But they have to come and see us to mm-hmm. win.
All right, so Saturday's Children's Safety Fair. This Saturday at the Eagles Airy from 11 to 3. If somebody wanted more information, where could they get that?
Well, they can call me, Louise Wertheimer, at 723-7792.
Okay.
Or Karen at...
They can call me at 957-6632.
Well, thanks, you two. Is there anything else you'd like to add?
Well, I just wanted to add that the Coast Guard will be there mm-hmm. to do boating safety. And we have the swimming pools who are sending some lifeguards to talk about swimming safety. And AWARE will be there to talk about how to be safe on the playground or in your neighborhood. The Sea Dogs Search and Rescue will be there. Animal Control will be there. So we have a really good representation of groups in Juneau to teach children about things that they might face during the summer vacation.
Sounds like a great event. Louise Wertheimer, Karen Fortwrangler, thank you very much for your time today.
Thank you,
Scott,
for having us.
This is Bird Note. Sometimes, it's just too hard to see the bird you hear.
too many leaves, too many pine needles, or maybe you're looking into the sun. Still, you want to know what it is. Well, relax your eyes and let your ears take over. Begin by listening for the qualities of the sound as well as the pattern. As you develop this skill, you'll learn to link certain qualities with your singer, like knowing that a flute-like and upward spiraling sound is characteristic of a Swainson's thrush. Quite a contrast to the plaintively whistled notes of the black-capped chickadee, often found in the same habitat. Maybe your bird has a raspy quality to its trill, like this willow flycatcher. Or does it sing out using a sweet and slurred cadence, like this purple finch? Okay now, which of these two qualities, ratchety or ringing, would you say describes the sound of this marsh wren? If you said ratchety, you're right. The song of the marsh wren has to cut its way through the dense vegetation of a cattail marsh. Oh yeah, flute-like and upward spiraling. Hear them all again at birdnote.org.
It's about 17 minutes after the hour, and you're tuned in to a Juno Afternoon here on Tuesday, May 27th, 2014. And I've been joined in the studio by Catherine Kell of the Canvas. Welcome.
Yes, hello.
And also Kara Gubbins. Did I say it right?
Yes.
All right. Welcome, Kara.
Thank you.
Nice to have you, too. So, Catherine, you work at the Canvas. Just in case there's a few folks in town that don't know what the Canvas does, can you give us a brief synopsis?
So the Canvas is, we're a part of REACH, Inc., which serves members of the community who experience developmental disabilities. We're kind of like the art outreach part of that. Our mission is to create inclusion through shared arts experiences, basically. So we do, like, community classes, and then we have classes specifically for REACH clients during the day, and then we have family-friendly and community events, which anyone can attend. So.
Okay. Yeah. And speaking of events, it's the Seward Street Arts Festival this Saturday.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. it's going to be on the 200 block of Seward Street. We're actually going to be closing the street off at that point.
Is that between like 3rd and 4th in there?
Yes. It's where like Pie in the Sky and the Whale Project is. And it's going to be, like I said, this Saturday, 11 a.m. to 2 p.m. Okay. We're going to have a lot of different activities. We're going to have a bunch of different booths. We're going to have some arts activities, including chalk drawing and a face painting booth. We're going to have an opportunity for people to participate in a collaborative sculpture. We're also going to have a henna booth and opportunity for people to adopt a balloon animal. We're going to have a balloon animal menagerie. We're also going to have printmaking with REACH artist Marianne James, and we're also going to have local artist Niall Johnson selling his handmade barrettes. We're also going to have, and all of those booths, except for the barrettes that you have to purchase, obviously are free. We also have a couple booths that are $5, including a caricature booth, where Disney-trained artist Stephanie DeRue is going to be doing watercolor caricatures of people.
Fine.
And we're going to have an opportunity for people to make their own hula hoop and then learn how to use it. And that's run by Temple Jackson. And then while this is all going on, we're also going to have a Seward Street scavenger hunt, which Kara is going to be running.
Tell us about it, Kara.
About that.
Sure. So we've teamed up with some of the local businesses on Seward Street. So we're going to have a scavenger hunt for kids, and they're going to go to, I think we have like 5 or 6 businesses. Right now we have Nana's Attic, Shoefly, Arts Touch Photography, The Canvas, Pie in the Sky, and the Campaign Office. And kids will go into each of the businesses and pick out a sticker, and when they've completed their card, they'll come back to our booth for a prize.
That sounds like fun. Yeah. This whole thing sounds like a lot of fun. It must have been a lot of hard work. Like, how did you get the city to let you close off? Are you going to close off the street?
Yes.
Wow.
Yeah. It's an application process, uh-huh. and we just had to notify, you know, all businesses within a 300-foot radius.
Uh-huh. Nice work, and everyone went for it.
Mm-hmm,
Arts festival there on Seward. That sounds like a lot of fun and a lot of cool people and a lot of cool events going on. It sounds like a kid would not get bored at this.
No, I mean, we got the booths. We also have, I forgot to mention, we're going to have a dance lesson run by Juno Fusion and Daniel Martin, and that's going to be at 1 o'clock. So, and there's going to be music the whole time, but then at 1 o'clock we're going to have a free dance lesson for anyone who's interested.
Yes, and it sounds very accessible and also, you know, lots of stuff that the kids will be able to do and make stuff as well,
mm-hmm.
take stuff home, hula hoops, among other things. It sounds great. What else would you two like to add to this? It's from 11 to 2 on Saturday, is that
mm-hmm.
right?
Yep.
If people want more info, I suspect they can call the Canvas,
mm-hmm.
right?
Yeah, that's at 586-1750.
All right. And I also saw some stuff on your website, which mm-hmm. is thecanvas.org.
Canvasarts.org.
Excuse me, yep, canvasarts.org.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Well, sounds like a lot of fun. Anything else you two would like to add?
We're going to also have some booths by other businesses on the 200 block street. For example, V's is going to have a taco stand. So
going to
have
food.
All
art
kinds of
food.
Stuff, art and food and fun.
Well, thanks for putting this together, you two, and probably a lot of other volunteers.
Yeah.
Sure, appreciate it. Sounds like fun. That's the Seward Street Arts Festival this Saturday from 11 to 2.
Mm-hmm.
Thanks a lot, you two.
Thank you.
In a truckload of art from New York City came a rolling down the road. While the driver was singing and sunset was pretty, but the truck turned over and she rolled off the road. Yeah, the truck's a load of art. It's burning near the highway. Precious optics are scattered all over the ground. And it's a terrible sight if a person were to see it, but there weren't nobody around.
Still dark outside. It was a light coming down from the sky. I don't know who or why. Must be those strangers that come every night. Those saucer-shaped lights put people uptight. Leave blue-green footprints that glow in the dark. I hope they get home all right. Hey, Mr. Spaceman, won't you please take me along? I won't do anything wrong. Hey, Mr. Spaceman, won't you please take me along for a ride?
Woke up this morning, I was feeling quite weird. Had flies in my beard, my toothpaste been smeared. Over my window, they'd written my name. Said, so long, we'll see you again.
Hey, Mr. Spaceman, won't you please take me along? I won't do anything wrong. Hey, Mr. Spaceman, won't you please take me along for a ride?
take me along. I won't do anything wrong. Hey, Mr. Spaceman, won't you please take me along for a ride?
And speaking of Mr. Spaceman, here on a Juno afternoon today, we have Mr. Ken Fix in with us. How are you today, Ken?
I'm doing fine, Scott. How about you?
I'm doing great. And among the hats that you wear in this community is working at the planetarium.
Yes.
All right, the Marie Drake Planetarium. Just in case there's anybody out there that's never been there, tell us where it is and just some like a general
description.
Oh, most
everybody's coming from the valley, so just take Egan until you get to where the Breakwater Hotel is. Make the first left there. Make the very next right, which takes you parallel to the schools, and you'll be going along the fence line. As soon as the fences stop, the sidewalk to the right will lead right into the Marie Drake Middle School building where the planetarium is, and it's right inside the doors.
So basically right between the elementary school, Harborview Elementary, and the high school, right?
Yes, but most people don't even know that building is there. The Marie Drake building is there. It's, like, seldom used. And
it's across from the cemetery and
correct,
the architects.
Yeah, if you went past the Blockbuster video, you definitely went too far.
And what are first of all, I was on your website today, and don't you have one of the biggest projectors or something? Like, it's a pretty cool planetarium we have right here in Juneau.
It's the largest planetarium in Alaska. It's larger than the one in Anchorage.
Wow.
But our equipment is older.
Mm-hmm.
We're still working with a 1968 vintage Spitz Starball.
Sometimes older
is better.
Which
is an analog
better.
Projector. But, well, eventually that's what we're trying to do, is to raise the funds to get a replacement digital projector, which will let us do a lot more things and also pick up programs that are originated at other planetariums and run them here.
Okay. Speaking of programs, what are some of the programs you have coming up?
Well, this is the last science educational program for the season. I'm doing Aries and Mars tonight, which starts at 6:30 and it's over at 7:30. We'll also have a little presentation with the stars tonight on the planetarium dome with the Starball. And then after that, we go into the retro sci-fi movie schedule for the summer. And I can tell you the dates in the first two movies that are picked out, because I picked them.
Yeah, cool.
It may be my last summer here in Juneau, so I'm getting to run my guilty pleasures.
Oh.
So we're going to run Independence Day as the first one, and that'll go on June 17th. And in July, we're running Galaxy Quest, and that'll run on July 15th.
Ken, how did you get into being associated with the planetarium and astronomy and all of this?
Well, a lot of it comes from my love of Greek mythology and ancient Greek culture. So I started getting into that, and I was working at the Parthenon Museum in Nashville for 6.5 years as a docent there. So I got to hone my skills a little bit and, you know, polish up on my mythology and mm-hmm. everything, and plus architecture and Greek culture, plus history of Nashville when I was down there. But I was looking for a place to fit in the things that I already knew and was somewhat familiar with, and I always loved astronomy, so it made a natural fit working at the planetarium and merging mythology and astronomy, because that's where all the stories for the constellations began, was in Greek mythology.
Okay. And so this program that you're going to be doing what day is it again?
Aries and Mars is tonight.
It's tonight.
6:30, yes.
Okay. From 6:30 to 7 over there. 7:30, 6:30, 7:30, excuse me.
It's okay.
And how much does it cost for somebody to get in?
Absolutely nothing. It's free. We take donations, though. If you want to throw a buck or two in the little jar when you're on your way out, that's great. But the presentation will run an hour, and I'll be covering the mythology of Aries and how Aries then became Mars in Roman mythology. That'll move quickly into the planetary science, which I've got a lot of tonight for Mars, because it's a really good topic of study for NASA.
Okay. You said you're gonna be leaving us at the end of the summer. Sorry, I'm...
Probably next summer. Oh. Not this summer. Next summer. So
We'll be sorry to lose you. We sure appreciate
the
stuff
gonna be,
you do here
at
the station.
Time to retire from my government job and get moving on to some other things. But, no, I'll be with you until then. So
okay.
You got me for another 13 months or so.
Perfect. Well, it'll be sad to lose you. We sure appreciate the stuff you do around the station and here in the community. So thank you for that. Well, Ken, is there anything else you'd like to add about the program tonight?
No, other than I've got a little bit more information that actually isn't in the presentation, but I found out that Mars is getting ready to get missed by a comet, and relatively close, too. In astronomical terms, let's put it this way, it's one-tenth the distance between the Earth and the Moon. It's going to be that close, you know, to Mars, and that's actually going to happen on that close encounter of October 19th, 2014, and the comet is called Sighting Spring. So it's going to be moving at about 35 miles a second, and NASA's a little bit worried about the orbiters they've got in place over the planet right now as how it's going to affect them, because we've actually got an orbiter that's arriving there on the 22nd of September, and the comet is coming October 19th. So the new Mars Reconnaissance Orbiter is going to have to be positioned very carefully so that it can be sort of on the backside to the comet as it approaches Mars.
So I'm embarrassed to say I've never been in the planetarium. I would like to go very much. Can you take us inside and give us, give us a little description of what it looks like inside? I imagine besides the big projector, do you have smaller projector? You show slides. What's one of these look like?
Okay, well, it's a large circular room, and the dome is constructed in such a way that the stars can be projected on it, and we can actually rotate the night sky. We can reposition it, you know, to show different latitudes and longitudes on the sides of the Earth. So we can actually set it up for South America if we wanted to. But we usually set it for about 58 north latitude, which is where we are here in Juneau. And we adjust the settings so that we can set it for the day of the year and show you what the stars look like if you could, in fact, see them tonight. And, of course, it'd be too light tonight anyways, and we've got too many clouds, so you're not going to see it anyhow.
And do you have, like, to show images and stuff, just a regular projector as well?
What we use for the presentation is my laptop, and we run it through a projector, so it's a PowerPoint projector. That projects right onto the Star Dome. And that's how we watch the movies, too, is they go right through the laptop computer and plug into the sound system. And the only time the sound system gets used is when we're running movies, because when we're doing lectures, nobody really uses the sound system. So the only time it gets a workout is if I bring in something like Independence Day and rock the planetarium with it, which we're going to do here in June.
I think I remember in high school maybe some Led Zeppelin or Pink Floyd.
Oh, that's when people do the laser light shows.
Yeah, right.
Well, we don't have that kind of equipment. But, no, it's actually really cool to watch a movie on the planetarium.
I bet.
The summer schedule is really laid back because I allow people to come in. You can bring lawn chairs, blankets, whatever. It's not anywhere near the formal settings that we have for the presentations that we do during the course, you know, with the science-oriented things during the year.
If people want more info, Ken, where should they go?
It's www.mariedrakeplanetarium, that's all one word, .org. And that'll give you our schedule of events. We're also, I usually put everything into the calendar for the JAC, and they're also on the Juneau Empire website, too, for our upcoming events.
So you can go to that website to find out all about these great programs coming up, but make sure you know about tonight, which is Aries and Mars from 6:30 to 7 at the planetarium.
6:30 to 7:30. It's a one-hour show. It's okay, Scott. You got it.
Well, Ken, thank you so much for coming in today.
Oh, thanks for having me again on the show.
Support comes from Northern Audiology and Hearing Services in the Jordan Creek Center. Northern Audiology offers diagnostic medical hearing expertise and digital technology hearing instruments. 789-6780.
I'm Jordan Nigro, and I'm a sustaining member of K2. I have listened to K2 my entire life. I grew up in Gustavus, so I think I was listening to K2 in the womb. Becoming a member felt sort of like a rite of passage and becoming a member of the community. It's not about the amount, it's about the connection.
Connect and contribute at ktoo.org.
And here is the Writer's Almanac for Tuesday. It's the 27th of May, 2014. It's the birthday of John Cheever, born Quincy, Massachusetts, 1912, wrote for more than 50 years, published more than 200 short stories. His collection of stories published in 1978 became one of the few collections of short stories ever to make the New York Times bestseller list. John Cheever, who said, "For me, a page of good prose is where one hears the rain and the noise of battle. It has the power to give grief or universality that lends it a youthful beauty." He said the writer's task is to evoke the perfumes of life, seawater, the smoke of burning hemlock, and the breasts of women. The Golden Gate Bridge in San Francisco opened to the public on this day. In 1937, cantilevered suspension bridge, 8,981 feet long. The architects were Joseph Strauss, Charles Alton Ellis, Irving Morrow. For this day, 200,000 people crossed the bridge. Some of them roller skated. A woman used stilts. Several people walked backwards. Many people tap danced the entire way. There were marching bands and beauty queens and speeches. Foghorn sounded. People played harmonicas. It's the birthday of Franz Cornelis Donders, the Dutch physician who pioneered ophthalmology, born in Tilburg, 1818. The research of Donders led to major advances in the study of astigmatism, nearsightedness, farsightedness. He was among the first to experiment with corrective lenses to improve vision, and he was responsible for the invention of the ophthalmotonometer, a device used to test the tension of the eyeball for signs of glaucoma. It's the birthday of the woman who wrote, "Mine eyes have seen the glory of the coming of the Lord. He is trampling out the vintage where the grapes of wrath are stored. He hath loosed the fateful lightning of his terrible swift sword. His truth is marching on." Julia Ward Howe, born New York City in 1819. It's the birthday of Rachel Carson, born 1907 in Pennsylvania, wrote a best-selling book about the dangers of pesticides. Silent Spring came out in 1962, one of the most influential books in the environmental movement. It's the birthday of detective novelist Tony Hillerman, Sacred Heart, Oklahoma, 1925, author of novels about the Navajo detective Joe Leaphorn. It's the birthday of the poet Linda Paston, born New York City, 1932, who said, "I often write poems in my head to distract myself during hard times. Years ago, after a car crash, while I lay waiting for the ambulance, I actually finished a poem I had been working on, determined not to die before I had it right." Here's a poem for today by Linda Paston, entitled Grace. When the young professor folded his hands at dinner and spoke to God about my safe arrival through the snow, thanking him also for the food we were about to eat, it was in the tone of voice I use to speak to friends when I call and get their answering machines, chatting about this and that in a casual voice, picturing them listening but too busy to pick up the phone or out taking care of important business somewhere else. The next day, flying home through a windy and overwhelming sky, I knew I envied his rapport with God and hoped his prayers would keep my plane aloft. Linda Paston's poem Grace, from her collection The Last Uncle, published by W.W. Norton and used by permission here on the Writer's Almanac, supported by Lumosity.com, a brain training program designed by neuroscientists that's been used by 50 million people worldwide. More at Lumosity.com. Produced by Joy Biles with assistance by Teresa Burgess. Be well, do good work, and keep in touch.
You're listening to a Juno Afternoon. It's about 40 minutes after the hour here on Tuesday, May 27th, 2014. And I've been joined in the studio by Shona Strasser. Thank you for coming today.
Thank you so much for having me, Scott. like these tables turned, my friend.
Yeah, usually you're on this side.
Yeah, I dig this.
I love you do such a great job with Juno Afternoon. Really, I listen. I like it.
Thanks.
Very
you do
personable.
Too.
Oh, I don't know.
Oh, shucks.
Oh, Shona. So anyway, among the hats that you wear in this community, Juno Afternoon host, but you're also the director of education and the artistic associate, over at the theater.
That's right. I work at Perseverance Theater, that little place on Douglas.
Yeah. What all do you do? What do those titles mean?
Well, you know, kind of throughout the year, they mean a bunch of different things, but the artistic associate, you know, kind of very specifically is about casting. I do all the casting there. So sometimes people get really mad at me, and there's nothing I can do about it.
Wow, that must be hard.
You know, sometimes it's just not the most fun thing to do. I mean, it's nice because you get to talk to everybody, and people are legitimately interested in the theater, but I really hate telling people no. That's, you know, so that's the kind of not so fun part about that, but the cool
part. Somebody
has
to do it, and somebody who knows what they're doing and knows what's best for the show, right?
Hopefully I can do that. Yeah. Well, the other thing too is I like that it's, you know, it's kind of the gateway into the theater. You know, I'm kind of like the first point of contact.
Mm-hmm.
So I like to consider myself I'm like a gateway drug. You know, I can push you into the theater. I can take you out.
I've heard a lot of things called gateway drugs, but not a Shona Stresser.
Yeah, well, little did you know.
Wow.
Yeah, but so that's a big part of that kind of artistic associate position for me specifically. And then we actually have Chicago auditions and general season auditions coming up. So we're doing this really big hairy musical called Chicago.
Mm-hmm.
And that's open, or, you know, it starts rehearsal in October and it plays in November. And but we have our auditions on June 8th, and that's a Sunday.
How many folks does Chicago take?
You know, I think we'll cast about 16 to 18 people.
Wow.
And that's actually not musicians, so it'll be about 5 or 6 musicians, too. So it'll be a big old hairy cast.
Wow. And when you all cast, you know, sometimes I know you bring folks in from out of town, and then we have a lot of local actors as well. Going into this, do you know sort of what you want to do, or are you just wide open to take whoever's right for the part?
Yeah, right now it's pretty wide open, you know, and that's kind of great. In general, we try to shoot for about 70% local and 30% out of town, and out of town even means like Anchorage too.
Mm-hmm.
So, and these are rough percentages. Of course, if we have more people from in town, we actually love that. But there's kind of a great thing that, I mean, you know, you're musicians. Like, when people come in and you see them play, you get to play with them. It's like your own practice goes up, too.
Oh, yeah.
You know?
Absolutely. I mean, I've heard from local actors who have maybe not been cast in something before, but they're like, having this person come in from New York or Anchorage or whatever, they really brought in something. They brought up our level of performance and some outside perspectives on what we were doing. So I've heard good stuff about bringing folks in.
Yeah, and also sometimes, too, we can kind of, like, get up here in a little windsock or something where we just kind of, you know, we do the same thing. And it's important to stay current on what's happening in the national theater scene, even in our small little town. I think that's what makes our theater so unique, is that we do try to stay as current as possible. I mean, we're leaving town to see shows, and, you know, we're trying to bring people in that are hot on the theater scene down south, as well as cast local people. So that kind of thing I really enjoy. Yeah, that mix.
How did you get into acting, you personally? What's your background like?
Oh, man, I'm like a...
By the way, listeners, we have a lot of extra time today, so we're going to do a little documentary on Perseverance Theater and Shona Stresser.
Oh, no. Yeah. We'll talk about Perseverance.
For once, I'm ahead on my time, Shona. Here on Juno Afternoon. It's amazing.
We were talking earlier on air about, really, Juno Afternoon. It's about time management.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, actually, what should happen is Jeff should come running in with another guest, like, here we go, let's go, you
Here's
know.
One more. Or he should have, I always expect Jeff to have one of those big hooks, you know, where he's like, Shona, you're done. He just pulls me out. he should do that.
But how did you get into acting?
You know, I started, I did a show when I was 9, and that's just when I started. And I've never stopped, actually. And so, yeah. That's just it.
Yeah.
And that was kind of the thing. I saw some actors come in at this performing troupe, you know, that toured around the place. They came into the school, and I was like, oh, that is so cool. They're so fun and whatever. And then I just kept doing it. And I haven't stopped.
High school, college.
All of it.
All of it.
Yeah.
And now you, maybe one of the best parts about it is that you get to teach as well. You're the education, director of education.
Yeah, so I actually started working with kids, you know, in theater when I was 16, just because I think it was that group that came in. I can't even remember their names. I feel like I should write them a letter or something.
Yeah.
Either a cursing letter or a thank you letter.
Yeah,
right. I'm not sure which.
I love being a four actor.
Yeah. Why, you little? So I started pretty early, you know, doing that kind of stuff because, I don't know, it's just the best way to give back, I think, too. And then also it's a really huge confidence booster. Whether or not you're a kid that decides to go into theater, you know, you can always use skills that help you communicate better with people. And acting does that. You know, it helps people break boundaries. It gives you confidence on stage and off. It makes you listen better. Acting is all about listening. I mean, it really is. It's very little about talking and mostly about listening and how you respond to the listener. So for kids, that's a great lesson to learn, you know.
Absolutely. So. And speaking of that, you have the STAR program coming up this summer. Ways for kids to learn all about this stuff, right?
Yeah. So this is like the 30th year of the STAR program. It's over 30 years old.
Wow.
And yeah, it's pretty crazy. And this year we have every year we do three plays, and this year we're doing Into the Woods Junior, which is a musical version of Into the Woods. It's a junior version, so it's a little bit shorter than the full-length production. We're doing Much Ado About Nothing, and that's a Shakespeare. We're doing My America, My Story, which is a brand new, you know, the students will write it with the director. So these rehearsals take place Monday through Friday. The musical rehearses in the morning from 10 to 1, and the afternoon shows rehearse from 2 to 5. There's a transition time between 1 to 2 p.m. in which we all get together and we do a bunch of exercises that, you know, work together on listening and vocal work and all that kind of physical stuff.
So is it a day camp, basically?
Yeah, exactly.
And how long, is it a week long? How long is that?
It's pretty epic. It's about 4 weeks long. So
per performance or
yeah,
per
every
play.
Every show rehearses every day, Monday through Friday. They have perform. Each show performs three times over two separate weekends. So that fourth
wow.
and fifth week, they perform. And they perform in rep, so they share the same set. The cool thing that I love about this program is that there are some major theater professionals, you know, people who have their, like, MFA in set design and costume design and stuff, who are making the things for the young people, you know? So it's like there's no, I mean, it's everything that a professional actor would get that these young people are getting to experience, which is pretty cool.
Yeah, and does it all take place over in Douglas at Perseverance?
It does, yeah, yeah. So we moved it back to... We used to have it at UAS for a while at the Noise Pavilion, but then they started building that kind of great new dorm out there.
Right.
It's kind of big and great. I'm excited for the freshmen to be there. You know what I mean? Uh-huh. It'll be like a campus.
It will, yeah.
Yeah,
very
that's
cool.
Pretty cool.
Yeah, I like it. We can talk about UAS today, too. We have plenty of time.
So then we moved it back to Perseverance Theater, and actually to see the kids get on the main stage is huge. They love it. They're like, oh, I saw this one show here, and it was great, and now I get to perform here. So that's a really neat thing. It's for ages 10 to 18 years old, so you can... You know, you have to be 10, unfortunately, or you can turn 10 during the program. I get a lot of calls about, well, what if they're 9? I'm like, I'm sorry. I just can't
they're
do
really
it.
They're really a mature 9, though.
Yeah, exactly.
Right.
They usually are a mature 9, but
right.
then I have to leave room for the one that's not, so.
Yeah.
Yeah. So it's just a great program. It's really fun. We have local directors. Donnie Gott, you know, she's an amazing actor.
Yeah.
I just love watching her on stage. And she's a director, too, and so she's does a lot of work with Theater in the Rough and work with Perseverance Theater, too. And so she's, you know, directing the Shakespeare. Dawn Colden, people may remember her from many, many plays that she's worked with tons of kids. She just directed West Side Story at Floyd Dryden with the kids there. So she'll be doing our musical. This is like her sixth year to do Star. I just want to give her a big hug and kiss every day. And then we have a new director coming up from New York City. And he's doing My America, My Story. His name is Rajendra Ramun Maharaj. And he's just really hot director right now. And I'm excited that he's coming up to work with the kids.
What's it look like there when everyone gets there in the morning or for one of these plays? About how many young people are you looking for? How many end up signing up?
Yeah, so we usually have about 45 students, so usually roughly 15 students per cast.
Okay.
We have room for up to 50, and I just don't turn anybody away. I mean, that's the thing. If money is an obstacle, I just don't want it to be. So give me a call. Let's work something out. It's just really important that I feel like the kids get a chance to do this if they want to do it. I mean, that said, if you're, like, on the fence, if you're a kid that's on the fence, this is probably not the thing to do. Just because it's so intense.
Right.
You know, it's long time.
Like you said, a month.
Yeah.
It's about a month.
Exactly.
Of intense study every day of the week.
Yeah, exactly. And it's super fun. I mean, we won't be mean or anything like that, but we do expect people that want to work on theater.
Okay. If somebody is on the fence and maybe they're wondering, I don't know, maybe I should have my kid do something else or maybe we could, you know, go on a trip, but this sounds so good. What's something you might tell them?
I would ask a few questions. Does your student have a lot of kind of individual drive?
Mm-hmm.
Do they like to have fun? Because I do. I get bored really easily, so. Uh-huh. So I like to keep it lively for the students. The other thing, there's so many students that have gone through this program who are now 22, 23, 24, 25 that I actually have worked with. Scary. That's so scary. But I'm happy to connect you with somebody else, too, you know, because I could talk forever about the STAR program because I really believe in its, you know, value as a human being. But somebody else could probably give you, like, the nitty-gritty. Like, don't do this if you're, you know, if you're not really interested in theater or do or whatever.
Yeah, so call you, ask you some questions, try and figure it out. Probably come down and talk to you, meet you in person if they wanted to.
Totally. You know what? I always schedule, with people that are new to the program, I always schedule an interview/audition where we just talk about, you know, the interest in the program and their voice and just where they're at. I kind of want to see where people are at.
What's the best part of the whole thing for you?
There's usually a few students who are not the most outgoing, you know, or maybe the quietest, and then towards, you know, maybe they spend that first week being like, oh, I don't really know anybody here, and blah, blah, blah.
Mm-hmm.
And by the end, really has nothing to do with theater at all. Like, theater, that'll happen. But they have new friends, you know, and they get to hang out with people, and they're talking, and they're initiating conversation as opposed to just kind of waiting back. It's a very, very giving environment. It's very open and fun, and, you know, we try to keep it just, you know, to create art, you have to be open. So we try to keep it as open as possible.
Well, it sounds like a great way for young people to spend time this summer.
Yeah, it's a blast. It's totally a blast. There's an early registration deadline. I don't know what the date is because I don't tend to pay attention to those things. But I know that May 30th is like a couple days from now, right?
I think so.
Yeah.
It's the 27th today.
Perfect.
Yeah.
Thank goodness for digital things. May 30th is just around the corner, and if you get your registration in before then, it's a $4.25 as opposed to $4.50.
Okay. And then the first show starts when? Or the first rehearsals and everything?
Yeah, it starts June 30th.
Okay.
So we're about a week earlier this year. And it goes through August 3rd. Sunday, August 3rd is actually our cast party. So.
And all of this is on the Perseverance website, right?
All of it's on Perseverance
website.
All the
details.
You can get a registration form. You could do it all online.
Okay. We've actually done a pretty good job with time today, Shona. We don't have to keep going on.
Love that.
Are we missing anything about STAR here?
We're not. We're not. I don't think so.
All right. Well, it's been great talking to you, as always. For more information on the STAR program, you can go to perseverance.org, right? That's what your website is? you can get Shona's phone number there and call her and figure this whole thing out if it's right for your young person, the young person in your life. And sounds like a great way to spend time this summer.
Thanks,
anything
Scott.
Yeah, you're welcome. Thank you. Anything else you'd like to add?
There's this new program called Theater in the Wild, and it's for high school students. I just want to put it out in the universe. Maybe I'll call Jeff and say, hey, can I come on again? Theater in the Wild. Fishing, hiking, camping, and theater.
No kidding?
No kidding.
For real?
For real.
That sounds awesome.
It's a week camping trip, actually, right after STAR closes. So.
Wow. And then you have the summer program over at the Jack?
Summerfest at the Jack, professional theater all summer.
You are busy.
Dude.
Keep up the great work.
Thanks, guys.
Tonight on 360 North, it's Northwest Indian News at 8, followed at 8:30 by this week's Native Report. At 9, in Ehaku Inua, To Weave a Name, a young Hawaiian filmmaker reclaims her heritage and her family. Service, When Women Come Marching Home, follows at 10. It's a documentary about the unique duality of military women's experience. Tonight on 360 North and 360north.org. Follow 360 North on Facebook and Twitter. This is KTOO Juno. We broadcast at 104.3 FM in downtown Juno and Douglas. We rebroadcast on translators K276 AF in the Mendenhall Valley and Auk Bay, K269 AO in Lemon and Schweitzer Creeks, K201 AM in Gustavus, K220 BT in Huna, and K210 AS in Excursion Inlet and Icy Strait. In Juno, KTOO is on GCI Cable, on digital channel 871. We're also online at ktoo.org. Support for national programming on KTOO comes from the Corporation for Public Broadcasting and listeners like you.
Thanks for tuning in to a Juno Afternoon today, here Tuesday, May 27th, 2014. Tomorrow, same time, same place, your host will be Ken Fix. He'll talk with Zach Miller about an upcoming Echo Ranch Bible Camp event. We'll find out about the next Roller Girls bout. Sean Blumenshine will be here to highlight the next Ha'ani Art Competition. And we'll learn about a workshop about starting your own child care business. As usual, if you miss a Juno Afternoon or want to listen again, you can catch it in other local, statewide, national, and international news at ktoo.org. The weather going into tomorrow looks mostly cloudy, highs around 60, northwest winds 10 miles per hour. On Thursday, partly cloudy still, highs around 62, northwest winds low, still around 10. Friday, mostly cloudy, and the first time we hear about a chance of light rain, highs around 63. Stay tuned for All Things Considered.